I'm not pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. Coronavirus edition. Okay, last time I was talking zombies, and I like talking zombies, so I thought I'd talk some more zombies. So I'm up to invasions where I left off. So invasion was our first sort of set with a grand theme, and that theme was multicolor. The whole block, early sets had themes. This was the first block to have a theme, and it was a multicolor block. And so one of the things we really were looking at was ways to play around with color. So as you will see, most of the zombies in the set do that. So the first up is Metathran Zombie. One in a black, one, black regenerate Metathran Zombies. So if you listened to my podcast last time, I talked about it. So this card is a reprint of the card Drowned. What we realized was we were trying to find, one of the things we were doing in the set was, it was a multicolor set, but to try to balance it, to make sure that people had enough stuff to draft, we said, you know what, we need to do some monocolor cards that have activations in other colors. And so that way, look, you want to draft if you're playing those colors, but okay, maybe people can play these cards if they're desperate in the colors. This card's not a particularly good card to play if you're desperate, but some of our other cards are. And I think we just realized that when we looked back in Magic, it wasn't easy to do reprints with all color activations. Magic didn't have a lot of them. They had a few. Alpha had one in said Troll. And so there were a few of them, and we just thought it was entertaining here we had to reskin it because Drowned didn't quite make as much sense. But anyway, it's a redone version of an old card, which is Drowned. Okay, next up, Hate Weaver. So Hate Weaver, one in a black for 2/1. Oh, I'm sorry, Hate Weaver. Okay, once again, to refresh from last time, one of the problems that we run into in early Magic is there was a limitation at the time that you could only have one creature type on most creatures. And so whatever was more important, the creature type, got on the line. And so there's a bunch of cards in Invasion that come the great creature type update would go back to becoming, would eventually become zombies because they were flavored as zombies, but they were not zombies at the time we made them because we only could put one knight in. So zombie decks couldn't play them. So Hate Weaver was a creature knight, a creature wizard, sorry. Marauding Knight was a knight. Nightscape Apprentice was a wizard. Nightscape Master was a wizard. But we did get to some... Oh, and Sabo's Assassin was an assassin. But there were two actual zombies. Two in mono black and three in multicolor. So we did get a bunch of zombies in. You'll notice me starting to get more than one creature type on stuff in a second. Okay, so first is Phyrexian Delver. Three black. When Phyrexian Delver comes into play, return target creature card from your graveyard to play. You lose life equal to that card's converted mana cost. This card was definitely... One of the things that we liked about zombies was the idea of... I talked about last time that I really enjoyed zombies having a life... playing around with life as a cost. Sarcomancy did that. There was a bunch of hatred did that. There were a bunch of things that went in the zombie deck that really played around with life as a resource. I like that as being something that vampires could do, and I like something that zombies could do. So the zombie deck early on played around with that. Vampire did as well. There's enough life things that both could do that. And then Phyrexian Reaper, 4/3/3. When Phyrexian Reaper becomes blocked by a green creature, destroy that creature, it can't be regenerated. So that's just a color hosing card we did. Okay, so now we get to the gold zombies, and we get to two cool ones in a second. So Pyre Zombie, 1/1, 2/1. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Pyre Zombie's in your graveyard, you may pay 1/1. If you do, return Pyre Zombie from your graveyard to your hand. 1/red, sacrifice Pyre Zombie. Pyre Zombie deals 2 damage to target creature or player. I think I made this card. So we had a cycle of cards in which it was a multicolor card that had 2 activations, 1 in one color and 1 in the second color. And the idea was that those 2 abilities were synergistic with one another. So for example, on this particular card, well, for 1/red, you could sack it to do 2 damage, right? And for 1/black, you could get it back. And so the idea was these 2 things work together. And we liked the idea of a zombie that sort of lit himself on fire and sort of jumped and blew things up. But he's a zombie, so he'll come back. Okay, then we get to, you can hear some signs of me trying to solve this problem that was affecting zombies. So Shivan Zombies, 2/2, creature barbarian zombie. And Vodalion Zombies, 2/2, 2-2 for creature Merfolk Zombie. So what I did was I made a cycle of two drop 2-2s that had both creature types of both colors. So the idea was I think the red cards were barbarians and the black cards were zombies. So for example, the black red card was a barbarian zombie. The blue black card was a Merfolk Zombie. If we made a blue red card, I think these were just ally colors. It would have been, you know, like a barbarian, a Merfolk barbarian. But I'd really been trying to find a place to do more than one creature type. And so I made the shtick of this. And the whole idea was it overlapped on the two. So it had to be both. Because like a merfolk and a zombie got together. So it's both merfolk and zombie. It was weird creative in retrospect. But it was me really pushing and trying to get the idea of, look, we need to be doing more... putting more creature types on stuff because I wanted things to matter. Like, it was really frustrating to me, the number of zombies, like, between last podcast and this podcast, the number of cards that were basically zombies, they were flavored as zombies, but it wasn't creature type zombie, was really high. Okay, so next we get into Plane Shift. And I got to make my first zombie lord. So, Lord of the Undead, 1BB, 2/2, all zombies get +1/+1, 1BB, return target zombie card from your graveyard to your hand. So one of my pet peeves had been Zombie Master basically helped your zombies. It gave them Swamp Walk, which, you could play Evil Presence, whatever, and turn your opponent's thing to Swamp, but that's not a great card. The other thing it did is it gave them Regeneration. And so I'm like, okay, the funny thing is, Merfolk, the Lord of Atlantis gave all Merfolk +1/+1, Goblin King gave all goblins +1/+1. Those were so much better. So I'm like, okay, could we please just make a zombie lord that makes zombies better? So we gave it +1/+1. And then like, okay, what if we did something that was useful for zombies? How about getting zombies back from the graveyard? That's pretty flavorful. And so anyway, I think Lord of the Undead was just a much better. I mean, I'm glad that Alpha had a zombie lord. It was not debated, so I'm happy to finally make a better zombie lord. Also in Plane Shift... we get a bunch of zombies. It's funny. You can tell, as I get a little bolder, I start pushing more zombies because I like zombies. Anyway, we got a whole bunch of zombies. So Maggot Carrier, black for 1/1. When Maggot Carrier comes into play, each player loses one life. So there was a cycle of cards. I think the first one was Tempest. Tempest had, what's the name of the card? It was Mog Fanatic. So it was red for a 1/1, and you... That's not this card. I'm confusing cards. This is an Enter the Battlefield effect, not a sac effect. So I just think this was just the idea of, zombies, at least early on, zombies back in the day were a little more aggro. And so the idea of, I'm just going to get a lot of zombies out. I'm going to have things reward you for having zombies. And then the idea that I'm trading one for one, but, you know, I'm making you lose a life. Like, okay, that's a one drop we can make for zombies. I mean, there are better one-stops, obviously, if you're access to all the cards. So Nightscape Battle Mage, I think, is the one card in that is its creature wizard that was not listed as a zombie that later is listed as a zombie. But we do have a bunch of other zombies. So Nightscape Familiar was 1BB for a 1/1 zombie. Blue spells and red spells you cost one less to cast. 1B regenerate Nightscape Familiar. This was part of a cycle. So the cycle all said, my ally spells cost one less, and then they had an ability. I think most of them had a static ability. In black, we decided to put regeneration, but that was activated because of regeneration. I did think I convinced them to make the black one of these zombies. Phyrexian Bloodstock. 4BB, 3/3. When Phyrexian Bloodstock leaves play, destroy target white creature, can't be regenerated. That was part of an a cycle for color hosing. Phyrexian Scuta, 3BB, 3/3. Kicker, pay 3 life. If you pay the kicker cost, Phyrexian Scuta comes into play with 2+1/+1 counters on it. Once again, more paying life for zombies. Lava Zombie, 1BB. When Lava Zombie comes into play, return a black or red creature you control to its owner's hand. 2, Lava Zombie gets +1/+0 till end of turn. So it's a 1BB, 4/3. So we did a cycle of what would you call this mechanic? Gating. It didn't have a name in the set, but we called it gating. And the idea was when this enters the battlefield, you have to bounce another creature. Although back then, you had to bounce a creature of the same color, and it was a multicolor cycle, so they were all two colors. So you could bounce either of the two colors. we get to the next step, which is Apocalypse. So Apocalypse has, how many zombies does Apocalypse have? It has a bunch of zombies. Apocalypse has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 zombies. So it has Grave Defiler, 3 and a black, 2, 1. Grave Defiler comes into play, reveal the top 4 cards of your library, put all zombie cards revealed this way into your hand, and the rest of the cards on the bottom of your library, and then for 1 black, regenerate Grave Defiler. So we're starting to solidify more zombie themes. Zombies are getting creatures back from your graveyard, because one of the things about zombies is that they keep coming, and then also that it's playing around with life, because zombies are sort of the undead. Let's see, Mournful Zombie, 2 and a black for 2/1, white and tap, target player gains 1 life. That's a weird zombie, but obviously, Apocalypse was the enemy color set. And there's two of them. So Quagmire Druid, 2 black, 2/2, green and tap, sacrifice a creature, destroy target enchantment. So both of those are just, you start seeing the zombie being more used as a default. I was a big advocate of this, but sort of like, we're making a black card. Oh, why not make it a zombie? At this point, by the way, vampires were more high rarity, and that's why I'm not seeing lower rarities being vampires. And then we got Zombie Boa, 4 and a black, 3/3, 1 black, choose a color. Whenever Zombie Boa becomes blocked by a creature of that color this turn, destroy that creature. Plays the ability only as a sorcery. So the idea in this card is you could sort of make it uncomfortable. Like, you sort of could turn on Death Touch, although Death Touch didn't exist yet. But you sort of like, oh, I have Death Touch versus green creatures this turn. It's kind of how it played. Okay, and then there's 2 gold cards in the set, in Apocalypse, the last set of the Invasion block. There is black and green for a 2/2 zombie elf. Black and tap, add black to your mana pool. So I think this was a continuation of the allied ones that we had done. The Shivan zombie and Vodalion zombie. I think we made a enemy cycle. And so you have Llanowar Dead, which is a black-green zombie elf, 2/2, tap for black. To try to play that as a zombie, but normally an elf would trap for green. And then Putrid Warrior, white and black, 2/2. Whenever Putrid Warrior deals combat damage, choose one. Each player loses 1 life, or each player gains 1 life. So we did the same thing where there's a zombie elf and a soldier zombie, for example. The one thing I will point out, by the way, on Zombie Boa is Zombie Boa is a zombie snake, and Quagmire Druid is a zombie druid. So I start making arguments that let's find places where it makes sense to have more than one. And, oh, it's clearly a druid, but it's dead. Oh, it's clearly a snake, but it's dead. And we want to communicate it's dead, but, like, the card feels very druidy. The card feels very snaky. So I start convincing them to let me put additional things. So you can see my influence slowly seeping in over time. Okay, now we get to Odyssey. Okay, so the thing about Odyssey was, okay, so here's the story, is Bill comes to me and says, all the members of the creative team, I think the creative team was 3 people at one point, back in the day, back here, and 1 or 2 people had left, and then the last person was either leaving or had never run a set, or, like, there was nobody that had ever run the creative on a set, and I had done the creative for Unglued, and I'd done Names and Flavor Text for, Urza's Legacy. I'd done the card concepting for Urza's Legacy. So anyway, I was the only member of R&D who had done Names, had done Flavor Text, had done art descriptions, that had done all the creative work. So Bill came to me, he was the head designer at the time, and said to me, Mark, could you, for Odyssey, run the creative? Meaning Names and Flavor Text and help with the card concepting. And I said, sure. And so that meant that I got to choose the creature types of the Odyssey block. And so I made sure that there were some zombies. So, for example, Odyssey has 5 zombies. And then Torment has 7 zombies. And then Judgment has a couple more zombies. So you can start seeing, like, my influence grows on just trying to get more zombies as the advocate or a advocate for zombies. Okay, Crypt Keeper is 1 and a black, 2/1. Sacrifice Crypt Keeper, remove target card in a graveyard from the game. So we start expanding the idea of, okay, well, zombies very much care about the graveyard. They can come back from the graveyard. They can get other creatures back from the graveyard. So maybe we could do more things with the graveyard. And this is us like, well, what if they had the ability to remove things from the graveyard? We start sort of making zombies a little more graveyard-centric. So next is Famished Ghoul, 3 and a black. 1 black, sacrifice Famished Ghoul, remove up to 2 cards in a single graveyard from the game. 3/2. So in the same vein, the idea of what if black, what if zombies not only could remove things, but could remove things as a cost? What if it was a resource that they used? Rotting Giant, 1 and a black, 3/3. Whenever Rotting Giant attacks or blocks, sacrifice unless you remove a card in your graveyard from the game. Zombie Assassin, 4 and a black. Tap, remove 2 cards in your graveyard and Zombie Assassin from the game. Destroy target non-black creature. It can't be regenerated, 3/2. So you can see here, one of the themes of Odyssey was a graveyard set. And so I really saw an opportunity to start using graveyard as a resource. And so you can see Zombie Cannibal, black. Whenever Zombie Cannibal deals combat damage to a player, you may remove target card in that player's graveyard from the game. So you can see all the zombies in this set are removing cards, either removing opponent's cards or removing your own cards, that I started trying to giving an identity to zombies. So in this block, which is a graveyard block, they very much are, that zombies have a really close relationship with the graveyard. Okay, so now we get into Torment. So remember, Torment, the flavor of Torment was there were more black cards in it than normal. So it made it prime to have more zombies. So there are a whole bunch of zombies here. Carrion Worm, 3 black, 6/5, Zombie Worm. Notice Zombie Worm. Whenever Carrion Worm attacks or blocks, any player may remove 3 cards in the graveyard from the game. If a player does, Carrion Worm deals no combat damage. So we played around a little bit here where it's a Zombie Worm and the opponent has a choice. The way it sort of eats the opponent's graveyard is I'm hitting you with a 5-mana 6/5, which at the time was a little aggressive. Now it's not so much. And, like, you can sort of lose your own graveyard to stop the damage. So it kind of, like, eats the graveyard, and when you have nothing more to feed it, it starts hitting you. The thing about Zombie Worm, real quick, I'll bring up, is the tactic I was using at the time was whenever it mattered that it was a zombie and it mattered that it was the other thing, I would argue to put both things on it. And so some of the time I was successful, some of the time I wasn't. Gloom Drifter, for example, which was also in, was a creature minion and not labeled as a zombie. Okay, Grotesque Hybrid, 4 and a black, 3/3. Whenever Grotesque Hybrid deals combat damage to a creature, destroy that creature. It can't be regenerated. Discard a card from your hand. Grotesque Hybrid gets flying and protection from green and white till end of turn. Okay, so the idea here is it has kind of a death touchy kind of ability. This is before Death Touch was a named thing. Now, obviously, Alpha had Cockatrice and Thicket Basilisk. So, like, the idea of destroying something, but we had done it more in black. And this is a good example of us sort of starting to, like, do it enough that, like when I come and say, hey, let's just make it a keyword, we were having cards that were kind of doing that. And then also, one of the themes of Odyssey Block was enabling you getting cards into your graveyard. And so this card lets you discard a card to make it fly and get protection from green and white. So it can protect itself from green and white spells or give it evasion, but it's sort of letting you sort of get things into your graveyard. And because there were things like zombie cards tended to want to use the graveyard, either bringing things back or eating things, you know, Grotesque Hybrid worked synergistically with them. Organ Grinder, 2 and black, 3/1. Tap, remove 3 cards from your graveyard. Target player loses 3 life. So once again, you're seeing more and more of us using Odyssey Block as really giving, I was trying to branch out a little bit. Early zombie decks had been very aggro-oriented, but I like the idea of giving zombies a little bit more control, and so you're seeing more of manipulation with the graveyard. Okay, Putrid Imp, black, 1/1. Discard a card from your hand. Putrid Imp gains flying till end of turn. Threshold, Putrid Imp gets +1/+1 and can't block. So Threshold is one of the main mechanics from this block. The idea is if you have 7 cards in your graveyard, then it improved. So the idea is it's a 1-mana 1/1, but it can be a 1-mana 2/2 if you have enough cards. Now, the important thing of Putrid Imp, interestingly enough, was it was a 1-mana card that let you discard cards. And that Putrid Imp actually saw a lot of play, and that's the main reason is because it enabled a lot of things because it allowed you to discard cards. And Odyssey Block, really, because of graveyard synergies and stuff, that can become pretty powerful. Okay, next up, Zombie Trailblazer, black, 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 2/2. Tap an untapped zombie you control. Target land becomes a swamp until end of turn. Tap an untapped zombie you control. Target creature gains swamp walk at end of turn. So this was part of a cycle where you would tap, I think, an untapped creature of that creature type in order to do something. And again, when we made a cycle and we cared about creatures, I made sure that black was zombies. Okay, now we move into Judgment. There are two zombies in Judgment. First is Balthor the Defiled. So Balthor the Defiled was creature, zombie, dwarf, legend, 2/2. All minions get +1/+1. Black, black, black. Remove Balthor the Defiled from the game. Each player returns all black and all red cards from a graveyard to play. So one of the things I should point out is, so Balthor, for those who don't know your Magic story, was Kamal, who's the main character of the Odyssey story. It was his mentor. And Balthor was a dwarf. Balthor the Stout was a dwarf that helped him. So Balthor the Stout showed up in, what's that, is Balthor the Stout in? He was in Torment. And Balthor the Stout said, one red, red, 2/2, all barbarians get +1/+1. And for red mana, target barbarian gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So the idea was he was a barbarian lord. He helped barbarians. Although he himself was not a barbarian. Interestingly, we loved the idea that we had a character that you knew that died and then became a zombie. And then we wanted the zombie to feel a lot like Balthor, but instead of being a barbarian card, it became a zombie card. So instead of all barbarians get +1/+1, all minions get +1/+1. And then we wanted to give him a really sweet ability. So he has the ability that if he's in your graveyard, if he's on the battlefield, you can exile him. And it's black, 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 exile. And then you can get all your black creatures and all your red creatures back from the graveyard to play. The reason it was black and red is because he formerly was red as Balthor the Stout. And so he felt like a black-red character. So we decided that it went really well. At the time, by the way, we really hadn't branched zombies out yet. I don't know if today I'll get to the point where we do. I mean, obviously, we had the Drown and we had the Metathron zombies. We dipped our toe into not black zombies, but really zombies had, say, a pretty mono-black thing. And you can notice, by the way, that like Zombie Trailblazer and Suture Ghoul, which I'll get to in a second, all have 3 black mana into them. A lot of the way we were building zombies at the time was zombies was really a mono-black deck. We hadn't quite gotten to the point where we started making tribal decks multicolored. That will come up in a second when we get to Onslaught, but we hadn't got there just yet. Actually, it doesn't really happen in Onslaught, but it starts happening in Onslaught. Okay, Suture Ghoul, which is the last card in Judgment. 4 black, black, black. So 7 mana total, 3 which is black. Star, star. Trample. As Suture Ghoul comes into play, remove any number of creature cards in your graveyard from the game. Suture Ghoul's power is equal to the total power of the removed cards, and his toughness equal to their total toughness. So I made Suture Ghoul as a remade version of a card that I mentioned last podcast briefly. Can you name the trip question? Can you name the card? Yes, it's a redone version of Frankenstein's Monster. So Frankenstein's Monster, like you removed creature cards, but then you chose like +2/+0 counters or +1/+1 counters or +0/+2 cards. It was very, very complicated to track what was going on. So this was trying to do a simpler, cleaner version of it, which is I exile creatures and then it's just combined power and combined toughness to exile creatures. I could, because they're exiled, I could stick them underneath the creature if I needed a reminder. Okay, so now we get into Onslaught. So Onslaught is our first tribal set. So what happened was, Mike Elliott had handed over the file to, Bill was the lead designer. The set was kind of missing something. Bill asked me to look at it. And what I had done is Mike had done like a little bit of tribal in it, but I think the blue creatures that could turn into anything were there, but there wasn't much to do with them. And I was like, you know what? We had just done Invasion, which was a multicolor set. We had done Odyssey, which was a graveyard set. I really had high hopes of what if we made a tribal set. Now at the time, it was kind of it was a radical idea at the time, and there was a lot of discussion to be had. But I convinced people to do it, and so one of the things I did was push hard to make this tribal. And when we were sort of establishing the tribes, what should black be? Surprise, surprise, zombies. Now, given zombies had slowly, with some help from me, become the characteristic race of black. Vampires still were kind of done at higher rarity, so we hadn't quite got to the point where vampires also could be a characteristic race of common. So zombie really were the common black, and we were hitting like all the obvious things. So like red was goblins and green was elves, so it made sense that black was zombies. But I definitely was somebody pushing in that direction, and so there were a lot of zombies. How many zombies are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. There were 21 zombies. So my influence helping pay off. And so finally, we made a set all about tribes, and zombies were the major black tribe. Another thing that I managed to do in this set is I convinced them that the zombies should have a second creature type whenever flavorfully possible. So another thing that starts happening on Slot Block is a Cursed Centaur is Zombie Centaur. Anorid Morkdiver is Zombie Beast. A Fetal Vulture is Zombie Bird. That we start... we hadn't yet got to race class, but I did finally convince them that, look, we should use multiple creature types when it makes sense. And with zombies, they clearly have an identity of what they were before they were zombies. Now, the rule at the time was human wasn't a creature type yet, so if you were a zombie that clearly had been a human, you were just a zombie. But if you were anything else, even if you were just a class, if you were a class sometimes, we would give you the zombie class. But if you're just zombie human, we didn't say human wasn't a creature type yet, so we didn't say that. So I'm not going to go into all of these just because there were a lot going on, but I will talk about some of the tribal stuff. So Bone Knitter, one and a black, 1/1. One black, regenerate target zombie, and it had morph. So the idea was you could play it for 3 mana face down to 2/2. But the fact that it had synergy with zombies was, if I had 5 mana, for example, I could both turn this face up and I could regenerate it. Now I could regenerate it, I could regenerate another zombie, but I could sort of surprise you late game and do that. Festering Goblin. So black and 1/1. When Festering Goblin is put into a graveyard from play, target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. I was, one of my quests, and I'm not even sure I made this or not, but I definitely was an advocate of it, was trying to make more one drops for zombies. And this is an actual good one drop for zombies. We have, and once again, this is a zombie goblin, so it's both zombie and goblin. Oh, the other reason I was able to convince them to do two creature types was we were doing tribal in the set, and I said to them, look, if we put multiple things, like the zombie goblin card, hey, the goblin deck could care about it as much as the zombie deck. So if I'm playing black and red, and I have red cards that care about goblins, oh, look, I have a black card now that it could matter. And I started convincing them that like it could start linking things and overlapping things. What else? Gravespawn Sovereign. 4BB, 3/3. Tap 5 untapped zombies you control. Put target creature card from a graveyard into play under your control. So the idea is you turn zombies into reanimation. Once again, that's one of the themes we were playing up with zombies, so it was pretty cool. I'm not sure whether this was part of a cycle of tap or whether it's just specifically a zombie thing. But I one of the things we were playing around with in Onslaught was different ways to care about creatures, and tapping was kind of a fun way to do that. Nantuko Husk. Let's talk about Nantuko Husk. So Nantuko Husk, 2 and a black, zombie insect, 2/2. Then Nantuko, by the way, were another way I try to get multiple creature types is I made them insect druids. Like I made the Aven bird soldiers. I made the insects zombie druids. So when this died, insect druids. So when this died, the idea, well, we got to show it's a Nantuko, so I made insect. So sacrifice a creature, Nantuko has gets plus pseudo end of turn. So definitely we... I liked finding things where I enjoyed them before, and this was a renamed card, but it was a fun card to bring back, so that was kind of neat. Rotling Reanimator, 2 and a black for a 2/2, whenever, and it's Zombie Cleric. Whenever Rotling Reanimator, another cleric, is put into a graveyard from play, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token into play. So the idea is, something else we messed around with is crisscrossing creature types. So, for example, this card is a cleric card tribally, but it makes zombies. So you could put them in a zombie cleric deck and have things that care about clerics and zombies and start crisscrossing. So let's see. Any other Undead Gladiator. Oh, here's a fun card. One black, black, 3/1. One black, discard a card from your hand, return Undead Gladiator from your graveyard to your hand, place his ability into your upkeep, and cycling one black. So one in black, discard this card, draw a card. So one of the things that I thought was fun was zombies can get themselves back from the graveyard, so that might be interesting with cycling, and you make a zombie to get itself back, and then cycling is a way to put it there. So I can sort of, I could cycle away to draw a card, and then later on, I can use a different card, like land or something, to get it back. And that allowed me to, for like two black-black, I could turn cards in my hands into cards if I needed to. Okay, so I see that I've run out of time. So we're going to stop here on Onslaught. Hopefully, one of the little stories you'll see as I go through zombies is... Well, I was one of the people that was pushing. I was not alone in my zombie love. There were people all around me that love zombies. So when I talk about trying to get more zombies in the game or push zombies, I was not alone. I was not acting alone. I got allies. I got support. And so there were a lot of other people that really, I think the love of zombies started growing over time. Early on, I was sort of the lone zombie fan. But over time, I really started getting a lot more people on board. And as other people, another zombie fan sort of joining R&D, you see more and more propagating of the zombies. So one of the things that's really fun as we look through this is, like, we go from alpha where, like, there is one zombie and one card that cares about zombies, you know, and, like, right, and not until the dark did you get a second zombie to, look, there's a set with all these zombies in it, 20 plus zombies in it. So zombies have come far. So, I probably not going to do part 3 for a little while, but at some point I will. And anyway, it's fun. I love watching the evolution of zombies. Zombies have a lot more to go. In future zombie episodes, we'll see zombies hopefully get to other colors and things, but we're not quite there yet. So anyway, I'm at my desk, so we all know what this means. It means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. Hope you guys enjoyed hearing all about the zombies, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.